If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're back in Matthew 17 from last week, looking at this transfiguration of Christ. Talked last week about how experiences and events are great in our lives, but that we don't live on the event. We don't live on the experience. The last couple of days, your staff and about 10 others joined us, and we went down to Waco to be a part of a simulcast of a leadership development conference put on by Willow Creek over up in South Barrington, Illinois. And it was a great event, and we've come back excited, and we've come back challenged, we've come back stretched. It was a great, great event. But events don't change you. Experiences don't change you. They just point to the direction that you're to go. And that's what we find in this passage of Scripture. There's a great event taking place in Matthew 17. It's the transfiguration of Christ. And in verses 1 through 8, we have this powerful, powerful encounter where Peter, James, and John have this encounter with Christ and two prophets. If you'll notice in the text, it'll say that they went up onto this mountain and he was transfigured before them. The word is metamorphosis. He was morphed before them. He was changed. His bodily appearance changed. The Bible says that light emanated from him, that his robes and his clothes were actually white as light, that this was this amazing appearance of God in the flesh, now God divine, where you're seeing that. Not that he wasn't, but we're seeing the Godhead before them. Marvelous experience, right? And then to top that off, then you've got Moses coming and Elijah coming and appearing, and Jesus and these two prophets are having a conversation. Now we learn from Luke's account of this, that they were talking about Jesus' departure. And when you look up the word departure in the Greek language out of Luke, and I'll give you the passage in a minute because I don't have it on my mind, it's in my notes. The word is Exodus. Exodus, literally Exodus. Well, what do you think about when you think about Exodus? You don't think about Jesus, you think about Cecil DeMille's and the Ten Commandments, don't you? I know that's what I do. I think about the Israelites exiting out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. They're talking about the Exodus. Now, when you're following Christ in the flesh, in the beginning of time, or the beginning of Christ's life, I'm talking about being there literally as disciples, you're looking for something. You're looking for the redemption of Israel. You're looking to be set free from Rome. And I can just imagine when you think about this in that context, that all of a sudden, here are the two prophets, here's Jesus, and they're talking about the Exodus. Well, it's done. It's here, right? So let's just settle down and wait for it to happen since it's so imminent, right? Let's just wait. Let's just wait here. So Peter says, hey, God, it's great to be here, isn't it? Well, he didn't say isn't it, right? But he might as well have. It's great to be here. If you wish, I'll build three houses, three holy houses, three holy tents. Really, actually, I'll build you three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. This scene takes place about 6 months before Christ would go to the cross. I'm told that what's happening right now in Jerusalem is the Feast of the Booths. Hey, let's just build three booths and let's just stay here, let's just live here, and just let's wait for the Exodus to happen. You know, people have done that before, don't you know that? Donned on white robes, went to a mountain because they thought Jesus was coming on a specific day, an hour, and they are waiting. They're living on the mountain, they're waiting. But you know what? In every event, in every experience, no matter how high mountain you scale spiritually, you always got to come down because that's where ministry is. That's where ministry is. That's where life is. We said last week in this passage of Scripture that there have been, in accordance with the Scripture, that there have been many events in our lives, many a times that we had encounters with God. Our youth over here had an encounter with God over the summer. The question is, has that encounter changed you? Has it changed you? Let me ask you something, and I'm just going to get a little bit over here for just a moment, okay? I know how you guys can worship. I've seen it. I don't know if you're just embarrassed about it when your parents are around, but I've seen you raise your hands, jump up and down. What's different? What's different? I don't see this. I don't see any of that when we're at camp. Listen, did the experience change your life? It won't change your life. It's what you'll do with the experience. It's how you'll move forward. This is what Jesus is going to say, or God's going to say. Listen, in the middle of this conversation, this middle of this experience, a voice comes and interrupts Peter. Wait a minute, Peter. I'm just going to interrupt you before you keep sticking your foot in your mouth. God, would you do that to me right now? For all of these folks over here. Interrupt me if you need me. There's an interruption. And the interruption is so clear. It is so powerful. It is so anointed that when they hear it, they fall to the ground. They pass out. And it's this. Here's the statement. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Listen, folks. You've got a lawgiver named Moses, and you got a prophet named Elijah. The law and the prophets. And what is he saying? You make sure you listen to Him. Yeah, you read the law. Yeah, you read the prophets. But if you don't read it in light of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and what God has promised to do, we miss it. We miss it. We can read the word from Genesis to Revelation, and we can do it every year of our lives and still miss God. We can come to the end of the year and say, read the Bible through for the 10th time. But listen, if you're not really listening to Jesus through that word, if you're not really listening to the Spirit and following Him, you gain nothing. I gain nothing. And we can mark it off. I read my Bible this week. I gave my tithe. Mark it off. I was in Sunday school, and I've got 5 perfect years of attendance. We don't do that here, by the way. But I can do all these things and still miss Him. How many of us have had a great experience, and we wake up one day, and we've forgotten it because we didn't apply, and we didn't follow, and then we didn't listen to what God would tell us next? Man, God, this experience is great. Let's just stay here. Let's just stay on this mountain. Let's just wait for the Exodus to happen. We've been waiting for this. We're ready for it. Let's just do that. I'll build 3 booths. Wait a minute. Hush up. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Great experiences don't change. They may be the beginning of it in your life. It may be something that you've made a commitment to, and that's great. That is wonderful. I mean, I've had those kinds of things in my life. Came to Christ at 8, very, very dramatic, a very great experience. Knew I'd preach when I was 10, very dramatic. 17, the surrender of my life. Remember where I was? I was in a youth revival in Chattanooga, Tennessee, sitting in the choir loft. Yes, God, I'll go. Listen, that was a great experience. Found deliverance at 27 years old in a hotel room on about the 15th floor on the west side of Houston. That was a great experience. I was in Lanzhou, China, 15 years ago, walking through a Muslim quarter, a city of 7 million people. And it broke my heart because I thought this, and listen, I thought this. Got back to the hotel room and thought, God, 7 million people in this city, only 70 believers in the whole city. A Muslim quarter that we walked through with 100,000 people living. People who were just absolutely, totally just drawn to the white guys from America. Or some of them thought we were Russians. Drawn. And I went back to that room with this heaviness. It was an experience. It was a transfiguration moment for me. And I asked this question. God, I grew up singing songs in Vacation Bible School. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. As I said, God, I'm going back to Erath County where there's about 22 Southern Baptist churches that'll have 22 Vacation Bible Schools. It was in April. And then you'll have the Methodist Church Vacation Bible School, and you'll have the I don't know where you've come from. And I'll go to a place where I can turn on the radio and hear the gospel anytime, any day. I can go to a Christian bookstore. I can go not only to a Christian bookstore, I can go to Barnes & Noble or to Hastings and have a big Christian section and find Bibles and find literature. I can go to places in America. I'm going to go to a church and we believed and we worship freely and we have this opportunity. We have this opportunity to see changed lives. I go back to churches half empty. What is that, God? That in this moment I said to him, in this experience, this transfiguration experience, because I saw God and God moved in my life. God, if you love these, why will today they not have an opportunity to hear? You have an opportunity to hear and to respond right now, today. You have an opportunity tomorrow. You'll have an opportunity Tuesday. It's just by the nature of where we live and in this great country of ours of freedom, that's just the nature of things. We'll have the opportunity. And I'm going to tell you this also. So will your neighbor have an opportunity. The question is, will they listen? The question is, will you and I listen? See, I could have had this great experience and come back from China and traveling all over China. I said, well, that was a great experience. And it fade. But as your pastor, if I didn't come back and act upon the word and the promptings of the Spirit of God to listen to what God is saying to me, to leadership, and to us as a church, we wouldn't be where we were. Baxter Bentley wouldn't be sitting on the back of that row, having come back from that place after 3 years, servicing. It had just been a warm fuzzy and a great experience. I would have forgotten. How many times have you done that? A great experience, great revival, great conference, great camp, great this, great that, great worship service. And by Monday morning, you're just back to the old grind. Oh, it's wonderful. And by Wednesday, it's done. It's a memory. It's not even there anymore. Listen, great experiences and great events don't change you, but what does to change you is listening to our great God, listening to Him every day of your life, opening up your Bible, reading your Bible, expectant with the Word, expectant that God wants to speak to me. This is my beloved Son. Listen, when the disciples wake up, when they wake up in this place, oh, they don't see Moses, they don't see Elijah, they just see Jesus. Poor Peter doesn't even get a rebuke, right, this time. He just says, Jesus says, let's go. Let me tell you what listening to Jesus will do in your life. I want you to turn to a familiar passage to us, and I want you, if it's familiar, way too familiar to you, forgive me, okay? But some of you it's not. Go to Matthew 7. We read it a couple of weeks ago in a different context. Chapter 7, verse 24. When you listen to Christ, that changes everything. It changes everything when you listen. Now, when I talk about listen, I'm not talking about going in one ear and out the other. You did that at an experience. You did that at an event. I'm talking about embracing the event, embracing the word with resolve, with a will to change, with a will to allow the Holy Spirit of the living God to move in your life. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit that will enable you and empower you. It's embracing it with faith, as we saw last week. And when you embrace it with faith, you do. That's just the bottom line. You do. You hear and you do. You trust and you obey. We all sang it when we were growing up, if you grew up in church. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I believe and I obey. And it's not some kind of legalistic thing. It's just, hey, I just want to do. I just want to love my neighbor. I just want to encourage. I just want to lift up. I'm not talking about these do's and don'ts and thou don't do this. Just love your neighbor. Just go out and love your neighbor this week. Have compassion, patience. bring joy, bring blessing, not sadness, not curse. You love the neighbor. Bible says, listen, when you hear this word and you do this word, you will build your life, and that life will be rock solid. It will and will withstand any wind, any storm, any trial, anything that comes your way. Notice what he says. Listen, if you hear these words of mine, you act upon them, you do them, you're compared to a wise man who's built his house on the rock. The rock's Christ. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it didn't fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Now, everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them, he's like a foolish man. This man builds his house on the sand. And when the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and slams against the house, it falls. And great was its fall. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount will say from chapter 5 to chapter 7, listen, these are the principles of the kingdom. If you'll hear these words, if you'll listen to me and really listen and then believe them and embrace them and do them, you'll build a rock-solid life for yourself. You'll build it in your life. You'll build it for your marriage. You'll build it for your family. You'll be a part of a rock-solid church. Because we listened to him. And we didn't get distracted by back then when I was 8 or when I was 10. Oh, it was great back then. Yes, but isn't it greater still? Isn't it greater even now? When I hear the voice of God and when I listen and I obey and I do, the scripture says that I build my life and my house upon the rock. Now, the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that you will be a wise person. You will be compared to a wise person. And we saw last week that a wise person is one who prospers. He acts wisely. We saw that in the context of David. He always prospered. Why? Because he did the right thing. When you do the right thing, you prosper. It may not look like it, and it may not feel like it, but you do. You plant seed for the glory of God, and that's what happens to us. That's what happens to us. You build your life on a rock, on the rock, Jesus, and you build a solid life for yourself that stands the test of time and the test of any storm. Matter of fact, in God's economy, the house just gets stronger. Supernaturally, when I respond by listening to Jesus. A second thing that I see in Scripture that it will do is you'll live wisely. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Keep your place in Matthew, if you will, because we're going to come back there for just a moment. Psalm chapter 1, and notice what he says. How blessed, how happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. This happy man, he doesn't walk the way of when wicked counsel him. They don't stand in the path of sinners. They stand in the path of believers, of godly people, not sinners. And that's what a sinner is. It's an unbeliever, ungodly, unrighteous. Nor does this happy, blessed man sit in the seat of scoffers. In other words, he doesn't look at counsel of the wicked and say, man, and just swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Listen, some of you have gotten counsel, wicked counsel from people, and some of us just you know, we do things and we make our own mistakes. We've given counsel that wasn't right. Go on and divorce him. Go on and divorce her. Get out. And get out quick. Listen, we've heard those kinds of things. And I'm just going to tell you, not that that's just wicked, but let me tell you this. We've given counsel that was not right. And you know, we'll listen to counsel that's not right. We'll listen, bombarded by media and bombarded by the world and culture and commercials and ads and all those things, and we'll listen to that counsel and we'll walk that way, and we wake up and we say, why did I do that? Or standing in path of sinners. He says, listen, when you want to walk wisely, you got to get rid of foolish things. And sometimes these things in our life that we walk through are foolish. We sit at the seat of scoffers, and you know what? You know what happens when we walk in the counsel of the wicked? And I'm not talking about just counsel. I'm not just talking about counsel. I mean, it's just, hey, let's go this way. Okay, we'll go this way. We see us doing that with the crowd, doing things that aren't right. Counsel of wicked, path of sinners, seat of scoffers. Before you know it, we're wicked, we're sinning, and we're scoffing. This is what he says, though. But his delight is in the word, the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. He thinks about it. He chews on it. He takes the scripture, he takes God's word, and he looks at it, but he doesn't only look at it, he listens to it, and he listens to it over and over in his mind, in his heart. And the Bible says when he does that, he's like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf doesn't wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Verse 4, the wicked, they're not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. See this? Wicked, sinners, righteous, godly. Wicked, sinners follow after things other than God. They don't listen to God. They don't listen to Jesus. Righteous, what do? We listen to the Master. And when we do, the scripture says we're like a tree that's planted by the streams of water. It yields its fruit in season. Its leaf never, ever, ever withers. It's always green. It's always in the season, fruitful. Not saying that trees don't have bad years. I think the season before, all pecan trees had a bad season. Right? Boy, but last season, gee, they were breaking. You remember seeing those branches breaking because of all the fruit on? Why is that? Well, sometimes a good tree puts off a little bad fruit. But you know what's so great about that? About being a good tree? Jesus says it this way, a good tree can't keep doing that because it's a good tree. Listen, when we listen to the word of God, when we listen, we build our lives on rock solid. Our lives become rock solid. When we listen to this word, when we listen to him, do you know what happens? We come to this place where we are bearing fruit in our lives. We live wisely. The third thing that I find in Scripture is that when you listen to Christ, you'll always find faith. You'll always find faith. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This great passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10 is so wonderful. We don't have time to read it and look at it this morning, but if you look at Romans 10, 6 through 17, you will see that when God's word goes forth and men embrace it by faith, they'll never be disappointed, that God does work. Now let me ask you a question here. Just everybody look at me for just a second. If I start with faith, don't we start with faith? Aren't we saved by faith? We're saved by grace through what? Faith. Got to believe. Why would we not finish that way? Why wouldn't we finish that way? Why wouldn't we keep living that way? You know, I look at us together and I say, listen, in Christ, you have what it takes to do that. Why wouldn't I want to listen to the word so that I might believe God for the next thing, the next situation, the next circumstance in my life? Now, you're on this mountain, and you got to come down this mountain. You can't stay there. You and I need faith because we need to live by faith. There's a couple of things that I want to close with this morning, and it'll probably be another 10 minutes, so be really, really patient with me this morning. But I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17. And I want you to notice a couple of things. Now, I'm going to set this up for you because it's really, really important. I mean, these three disciples are coming off this mountain, this great experience, this great event. And listen, events don't change you unless you follow through. I'm going to have to come back down this mountain spiritual high. Not that I emotionally get low, but I got to get back to the things that God's called us to. I couldn't stay in Lanzhou, China, in a hotel room the rest of my life, experiencing God. To come back, live it out. And I needed faith to do that. And to have faith, I needed to hear what God was saying. And I needed to be reading my Bible, studying my Bible. I had to be in that Word, right? So that the things that I'm seeing and the things that I'm hearing, that's what I'm looking through. That's the lens that I'm looking through life. And I want to say this because they're going to come down, and they're going to come down to where it's dirty, where it's hard. Notice what it says, verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees. Now, they've come right from the transfiguration, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, and he's very ill. And he often falls into the fire, often in the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving, perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Cured at once. Now, there's other accounts of this. But the bottom line is they come off the mountain to a hurting family. They're hurting. This father's desperate. I mean, these disciples, if you would notice, and I think it's Luke chapter 10, when these disciples plus more, there were 70 disciples that were sent, they were given authority. Listen, you've been given authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You and I are going to get up in the morning, and we're going to go to people with loads of hurt, loads of struggle, desperate for a word, desperate for light, people who are hurting, people who are struggling, people who have lost. And it's so easy for us to go to those kinds of people and be judgmental and be critical. What's their problem? Not even knowing the deep pain and hurt. This man has probably heard of Jesus. I know he's heard of Jesus. He's heard of disciples. Jesus isn't around, though. Jesus is on the mountain. And guess what? One day Jesus won't be around. Oh, he'll send his Holy Spirit to us. But he won't be around. He has called these disciples out. He's called us out. And this man understands that. And that's where he goes to. You know, the Bible says that you and I have all been sent. You have been sent just as Jesus has been sent. John 20, verse 21, on the screen. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Why do we get the Holy Spirit? We get the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. We get the Holy Spirit to live in him and to give him away. To share Christ with our lives, not with just a tract. Our lives. God has sent us. God has sent these disciples. Matter of fact, when you look at the scripture in Luke chapter 10, you're going to see that they're sent out, and he sends them, and he gives them that authority, and they come back, and they say, you know what? Let me stop right here. Go on and turn there for a moment, okay? I think we'll be okay for another 5 minutes. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. He has sent them out. The 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, verse 17, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall down from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in that event, right? Don't put your stock in that. There are people who stand before me one day and say, Lord, we cast out demons. And God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. No, we listen to him. Nevertheless, don't rejoice this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. How do our names get recorded in heaven? Faith. Faith. And at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you've received and you've revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, but this is well-pleasing in your sight. Listen, you've been sent, and you've been given authority. And that authority is to initiate change in people's lives. This man somehow understood this in Matthew 17. He somehow understood it, and he would come. He would come to these disciples. Jesus isn't there. There's three with Jesus, and then the rest are with this man. And he's saying, will you please cast this man out, this demon out? And the Bible says they can't do it. They were shocked. God had given them authority. Listen, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Well, not this one. Not this one. Yet Jesus gives a rebuke. I don't think he's just given a rebuke to just disciples. I think it's just a rebuke to the generation. And it's just a rebuke that says, quit, be unbelieving. Believe. Just believe. He says this, do you know that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, they could say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved for you? Jesus was cashing in on that moment on an idiom in Jerusalem and Judea that time. It was said that if you could really speak well and really deliver well, that you could remove mountains. He wasn't talking about a literal mountain there. He's talking about the figurative metaphor mountains of our lives. You have authority to do that. But you have to listen. We need to be listening to our God. You have been sent, listen to me, you have been sent, and you have been sent with authority to make change, to be a part of change in people's lives. That's why we don't stay on the mountain. So we go into places where people are. But you know what I think? I think sometimes if we're listening to Christ, we do get to live the event over and over and over as we experience the presence of God. Listen to Him. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Don't just depend on the event. Depend on what God is saying through it. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I've been looking to the past and I've been looking at all these great things and I've just been wondering, where is it all? Well, it all comes to being by listening to God today. You know what I love about the children of Israel's story about the man in heaven? They only had enough for one day. If they kept it, it spoiled. They had to trust to get up the next day that they had the manna to live on. I love that. I have faith today that I'm going to go home, I'm going to put my head on my pillow, and in the morning and through the day, God's going to have another word for me. A word to live on. A word to live by. And that's why I'm eager, anxious to open my Bible. Or open my Bible on this, right? Read your Bible. You find the sufficiency of Christ in the Word of God. And it is sufficient to lead you to Him. Listen to Him. He is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Have you been listening? Not to me. Necessarily, I hope you were listening to me. But have you been listening? Are you someone that needs loud to hear Him? Are you someone that needs to go to an event to hear Him? Are you listening today? You know, there's manna available for you this morning, this afternoon, tonight. Whenever you open the Word with great expectation that God's going to give me a Word. There are seasons in our lives, though, that we'll open the Word and we'll say, where are you, God? Like we began the service with this morning. You seem so far away. No, you're near, Scripture says. You're not an alien. You're not a stranger. You're a fellow citizen, the King. We praise God for that today, that God would meet us in our need and meet us in our struggle. But listen to me. Please, listen to this. He meets us in our struggle to set us on the rock so that we might be a part of bringing that to someone else, to give it away, to serve, to love, to bless. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word, that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen and amen. Got a couple of things for you today.